inside the big armored excursion suit all that time. There was no room in the cargo bay to get out and walk around. Being in zero-G helped. His heart could pump weightless blood much more efficiently. He flexed his legs as much as he could, pulled his arms out of the sleeves, and munched on a meager breakfast of muffins and lukewarm coffee. "Fritz'll bitch about the crumbs," he thought, almost giggling. "Give him something to complain about when I get back. Now the work begins."
In the mission control center, von Helmholtz scowled at a single console he had at his disposal. All the other consoles were manned by Urbain's people. The chief scientist himself had left the center and gone back to his own office. Von Helmholtz's half-dozen technicians crowded behind Fritz as he sat down and powered up the console. "This will be the primary link with Manuel," Fritz told himself. "The rest of them are connected to satellite sensors and to Alpha itself. I am connected to Manuel. His safety depends on me."
Wanamaker pushed through the hatch that connected to the transfer vessel's bridge. "Are you okay? Need anything?"
"I'm fine, Jake,"
Gaeta said, careful to keep the volume of the suit speakers down to a moderate level.
"Ready to go out and get started?"
"Okay. I'll join you as soon as the lock cycles and I can pull on my suit." Gaeta nodded inside his helmet. Wanamaker went back to the bridge.
"You're clear for Eva," Pancho sang out.
Dialing the volume control even lower, Gaeta slid his arms back into the suit's sleeves and replied,
"Entering airlock."
He stepped ponderously into the tight metal womb of the airlock and sealed its inner hatch. Once he was outside the ship, he knew, Wanamaker would come into the cargo bay, worm himself into a nanosuit, then come outside to help him decontaminate the suit with Chris's nanoscrubbers. Then he had to climb into the aeroshell and thruster package. The telltales on the airlock bulkhead cycled from green through amber and finally to red. Gaeta barely felt the pump's vibration through the thick soles of his boots.
"Locks in the red," Pancho called.
"Copy red," said Gaeta. "Opening outer hatch."
He leaned a gloved hand on the control stud, and the outer airlock hatch swung slowly open. At first, all Gaeta could see was the infinite black of space. Then the filtering of his visor adjusted, and pinpoints of stars stared back at him. Off to his right, he could see the curve of Titan's orange clouds, looking somehow sickly, almost a sallow yellow. "Like a bad day in L.A., he said to himself. Then Saturn swung into view. Huge, brilliant, those impossible rings hanging like swirls of diamonds above its middle. Gaeta could see bands of clouds eddying across the planet's immense bulk, storm systems bigger than Earth surging through the delicate saffron cloud tops.
"You going out?" Pancho asked.
Gaeta forced his attention to the metal frame of the airlock hatch. Gripping it with both hands, he said curtly, "Stepping out."
Sitting on a stool in the biolab, Cardenas tried not to look at her wristwatch, nor at the digital clock on the wall above Negroponte's workbench. She knew Manny's mission plan by heart. He should be just stepping out of the transfer rocket now and starting to get into the aeroshell heat shield.
"Are the muffins all right?"
Cardenas snapped her attention to Negroponte's long, almond-eyed face. The biologist looked very serious, almost worried.
"The muffins," Negroponte asked again. "Are they all right? The cafeteria didn't have..."
"They're fine," Cardenas said. "My mind wandered. I'm sorry." 4 smallish muffins remained on the makeshift placemat that Negroponte had spread upon her workbench, together with the crumbs of the 2 the women were already chewing on, and a pair of steaming plastic coffee mugs. A working breakfast.
"Just what is it that you wanted to show me?" Cardenas asked, wiping crumbs from her lips and then reaching for her coffee.
Negroponte pushed her hair back off her face with both hands.
"These bugs that Nadia discovered..." Her voice trailed off.
"Bugs?" Despite herself, Cardenas smiled. "Is that the biological term for them?" "Utterly serious," Negroponte replied.
"I don't know what to call them. I don't even know if they're actually alive."
"But Nadia said..."
"I know.
I worked with her. We wrote the report together.
And you said that the specimens in the ice particles were alive. Biologically active is the phrase you used, isn't it?
Negroponte smiled minimally. He read our paper.
I certainly did.
Negroponte clicked on the monitor screen at her elbow. Cardenas saw dark blobs pulsating slowly.
The samples from the rings? She guessed.
Yes, said Negroponte. The vid is speeded up by a factor of 100 from real time.
Eyeing the screen, Cardenas said, They move. They seem to interact with their environment. You've measured metabolic reactions in them. They're alive. What's the problem?
Is a virus alive? Negroponte asked.
Cardenas hesitated. I'm not a biologist.
Don't be modest. You know the answer as well as I do.
So?
A virus can remain dormant. Nothing more than a nanometer-sized spore for centuries. Millennia, even.
But when it comes in contact with a living cell,
it becomes active. It invades the cell's nucleus and takes over its reproductive machinery to produce more of itself.
And the cell eventually dies, Cardenas said.
Not before the virus has reproduced itself a millionfold or more.
Nodding toward the display screen, Cardenas asked, You think the organisms in the rings are viruses? Negroponte shook her head solemnly.
Let me ask my next question.
Go right ahead, said Cardenas, intrigued.
Is a nanomachine alive?
Gaeta thought the aeroshell looked like a shallow bathtub. Attached to the hull of the transfer craft like an open parasol, its white heat shield ceramic exterior glowed warmly in the saffron light from Saturn. The return pod package stuck up above the shell looked like the fat handle of an umbrella. It contained the return rocket thruster and its fuel, and was covered in similar heat-resistant ceramic. It was connected to the aeroshell's rim by three slim buckyball struts. Inside the armored excursion suit, Gaeta floated out to the end of the tether he'd attached to the transfer craft's hull, dangling in the emptiness of space while he waited for Wanamaker to stow the emptied container of decontaminating nanomachines back inside the airlock. Space isn't empty, he reminded himself. This vacuum is filled with hard radiation. He turned himself around by swinging his arms until he faced the overpowering radiance of Saturn and its rings. Down at the planet's south polar region, he could see the bright shimmering of its aurora. Enough radiation to fry a man in seconds, Gaeta knew, if he wasn't protected. The airlock hatch opened like a glowing eye in the shadowed darkness of the transfer ship's hull. A lone figure glided out, seemingly wearing nothing but coveralls. Gaeta knew that Wanamaker was in a suit composed of nanofibers, and he was protected as well as a man in a cumbersome, old-fashioned hard-shell spacesuit. Still, he shook his head. They'll never get me in one of those flimsy damned things. Looks like nothing more than a plastic raincoat and hood. Ready to get into the bathtub? Wanamaker's voice crackled slightly in Gaeta's earphones. With a nod that Wanamaker couldn't see, Gaeta said, Let's do it before Fritz starts hyperventilating. Sure enough, von Helmholtz's testy, impatient voice came through from the Mission Control Center aboard Goddard. You are already 3 minutes behind schedule. The timeline must be adhered to. I'm getting into the aeroshell, Gaeta answered. Don't get yourself lathered up. Timeline, he thought as he climbed up the rungs built into one of the connectors and slowly swung a leg over the rim of the aeroshell. Even in the microgravity of orbit, it took an effort to move inside the suit. The servo motors could help with walking and normal leg movements. This maneuver was more like climbing into a saddle on a tall horse. It unnerved Gaeta slightly to see Wanamaker puttering around him in nothing more substantial than the nanosuit. How's it feel inside that baggie? He asked as he lowered himself to lay down on his back inside the aeroshell's bowl. Fine, answered Wanamaker.
A lot easier moving